If you would, this morning, turn with me to Ezekiel. That's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 28. Last Sunday morning, we talked about demon possession and what the religious world today views about that. And I told you what I believed about it and tried to base it upon the Scriptures. And So I thought today it might be a good idea to follow up with some information about how Satan is working today. I mentioned last time, and I'll go back over some of the information that we covered last week, but I mentioned last week that, you know, you hear people talk about demon exorcism and demon possession and all that kind of stuff, and there's a lot of confusion, I think, in the world about the power that Satan actually has today, and people attribute a lot of things to Satan that I don't think are of Satan. I think maybe they're of the flesh and our yielding of the flesh. Stephanie and Billy were telling me that they kind of disagreed a little bit with what I was saying, because as they were trying to listen to the message, that the sleep demon got on both of them and they fell asleep. Of course, they were in Florida on vacation, so that would be, you know, explainable. And then this past Thursday night, we're broadcasting, and I'm just going like a house of fire, talking about eternal security, and 29 minutes into the message, it just, boom, goes blank. And nobody can see or hear anything. I have no idea why that happened, how that happens, but I attribute it far more to electronics than I do to the devil. Because I believe if the devil had the power to do such things, we wouldn't be able to ever broadcast anything. And so, having said all that, I want people to understand, I do believe that Satan is real, that he's powerful, and that he's ever present. But I think it's important that we understand how Satan is dealing with today, because as Paul said in talking about Satan, he says, we are not ignorant of his devices. And we don't want to be ignorant of his devices. And we do want to know how he is operating today, how he is functioning today, so that we can follow the instruction of the Apostle Paul when he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. First thing I want you to notice today is in Ezekiel chapter 28, what was the devil's original state? Notice in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. So it's pretty obvious that since Adam and Eve were the only humans present there, that is speaking there of Satan. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So we know that he was a created being. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So his original state is stated there, what he looked like and so forth. His original sin, notice verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. So from these verses, we learn that in the beginning, Satan, Lucifer, was a covering cherub. He sinned, and as a result of that sin, he was cast out of heaven. And he shows up there in the Garden of Eden. Now, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 14, there's a information there about the fall of Lucifer and what brought that about. And by the way, there are thousands, probably millions of people today that are religious in some shape, form, or fashion, that they don't believe that Lucifer exists. They believe in God, but they don't believe in Satan. They believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. Well, the Bible is clear that both are real, both exist. And Lucifer, Satan, is as real as God is, and hell is as real as heaven is. And they all have their purpose. Notice there in Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now here's his original sin. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Did you notice how many I wills were in that passage? That's Satan. That's Lucifer. His desire was not only to be like God, but to be above God, to overthrow the very throne of God. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And so you can go from that verse right there, that last statement, I will be like the Most High, tells us that whatever God is doing in whatever dispensation, then Satan is going to try to duplicate that and counterfeit that. In the Old Testament, it is clear that there were those who had the same power as did the men of God. They were called wizards. God always allowed Satan to have a certain amount of power and a certain amount of control so that man would always have a free will to choose which he was going to follow. People say, why didn't God just wipe him out? Because God's desire was for man to choose between that which was right and wrong, between God and Lucifer, and so he allowed him to have a free will. And from the very beginning, Satan's plan was to use deception and trickery and guile, if you will. He's talked about as being a subtle person, a subtle being, and he has always worked on the basis of deception and a lie. In the Old Testament, as I said a moment ago, the Bible says that there were those that duplicated the miracles that God performed. In Matthew, through Acts, we covered that primarily last week. We looked at numerous verses of Scripture in the Gospels concerning the casting out of demonic spirits. By the way, the word demon is not in the Bible. They're usually referred to as unclean spirits. But in the ministry of Christ, he actively and gave the disciples also the power to cast out devils. Let's look at a couple of verses there. Look in Matthew chapter 10, just kind of as quickly in review. In Matthew chapter 10, look there in verse 6, or verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, what I pointed out last week, for those that were not here, maybe weren't listening, was that during the earthly ministry of Christ, which was the offer of a literal physical kingdom upon this earth, the devil had the power to do physical and literal things among people that would, in a way, in a sense, overthrow that kingdom. We read a passage where it said, if the strong man is not cast out, then the house cannot be established, and so forth. Speaking of the kingdom in which Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. We also have a verse in the Revelation where during the tribulation that the angels of Satan are cast out into the earth. So there was the ministry of casting out these devils along with healing, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely receive, freely give. Look in Mark chapter 16. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so we looked at references that showed that the Apostle Paul, after his salvation, after his conversion, had all the signs of the apostles. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe is the verse I'm looking for. 2 Corinthians 12. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 11. I am become a fool in glory. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Now notice, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. It was important that Paul have all the signs of an apostle so that he would be accepted as an apostle. And so in the book of Acts, Paul had the power to heal. Paul had the power to cast out devils. Paul had the power to raise the dead. But later in his ministry, we see that those gifts that he had no longer were in effect, and they went out of function when the Word of God was complete. Now, I want you to notice something. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Tell you what, let's go over to chapter 6 first. Ephesians 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see here definitely, without question, that Lucifer, that old serpent, the devil, is still alive and real and operative during the dispensation of grace. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he goes on to say, there in verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So there is the wicked one. He has fiery darts. He has attacks that he tries to make on people. And we're going to see how that takes place. And Paul says that through this armor, and every one of those things can be related back to the Word of God, and he says, by doing this, you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So there is no doubt that we are involved in a spiritual warfare. and that the devil is real and he is active and he's ever present. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy 4. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, there we get a wonderful insight into how Satan is really operating today. Paul says there are doctrines of devils, and he calls them seducing spirits. Seducing spirits that teach doctrines of devils. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. The Bible says there, but evil men and seducers, that seducing spirit, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, a verse I quoted from a moment ago, Paul said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. And in 2 Corinthians 11, a verse we looked at last week, verse 14, he said, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So I believe that when we study the Word of God and we rightly divide the Word of truth, we see that because there was a literal, earthly, physical kingdom being offered in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that there was an earthly, literal, physical presence of Satan upon the earth manifested through these unclean spirits. I believe today that God Almighty is building up a spiritual body. We are not to put our trust in this life and this physical being that we are. We are spiritual beings once we are saved. We are baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God dwells in us. We talked about it in Sunday school, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so today, I believe the manifestation of the devil himself is in a spiritual sense, is in a spiritual warfare. And he does that, he operates through false teaching and false doctrine. And the warfare today is that for the mind of individuals. And as Paul said, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Matter of fact, let's go back and read the continuation of that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Well, that tells us something, folks. Just like there are ministers of righteousness that preach the Word of God, the gospel, the grace of God, and the truth of God, there are also ministers of Satan who corrupt the Word of God, corrupt the truth, and try to cause people to believe that there's something they have to do in their flesh in order to be saved. And he's been very effective. I was talking the other night about eternal security. Now, I want you to just stop and think about that one doctrine. Paul says over and over, he talks about us being sealed with the Spirit of God and their redemption. Us being in Christ, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. by one Spirit being baptized into Christ. And what I was trying to point out in that study is the reason people believe their salvation is most of the time people don't really understand what took place at salvation. What took place at salvation is we were placed into Christ by the Spirit of God. We are one with Christ. And we are sealed under the day of redemption. But did you realize that 99.9% of the religious world today does not believe in eternal security? How many of you can name more than one or two denominational systems that teach eternal security? I can't. Now stop and think about it. The Roman Catholic Church, the millions and millions that are involved there. The Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Church of Christ. You just go right down the line. They all teach that you can lose your salvation. You don't think the God of this world has been successful in corrupting the truth of God's Word? Well, certainly He has. And most of it hinges upon people failing to follow the simple instruction of rightly dividing the word of truth, and the devil has people right where he wants them, because most false doctrine today is nothing more than misplaced doctrine from another dispensation. You go back and try to drag the law into the dispensation of grace, and it ends up corrupting the Word of God. You go back and try to drag the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John into the dispensation of grace, and it corrupts the Word of God. You go over to Hebrews through Revelation and try to take the doctrine over there and apply it to the church, the body of Christ, and it ends up in confusion. The devil is the master of confusion and of deceit. He is a seducing spirit. Notice what Paul says over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says there in verse 22 that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you might put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Notice, neither give place to the devil. Well, then Paul realized and understood that the devil was real, that he had an influence, and he said, we're not ignorant of how he's operating today. The majority of the world is. The majority of the world sees Satan as some being with a red suit on and horns and a pitchfork, or people out by a fire somewhere offering up satanic sacrifices of animals and that kind of thing, and that's how they identify Satan. No, folks. Satan is more clever than that. And what Satan has done is taken the truth and twisted it just a little bit to deceive people into believing that the only way that they can be right with God is through their own goodness and their own works. You see, the Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul preached that gospel. And he said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel, for it is the power of God of salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now I want you to consider something. Go over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. You see, I do believe wholeheartedly that there is a physical manifestation of Satan today. I believe I've talked to a lot of them. I believe I've heard some of them on radio and TV. And I'm being serious when I say that, folks. Come on. You know, people have this idea of you ought not to condemn other people's religion. or that kind of thing. Listen, any teaching that is contrary to the Word of God is of the devil. I mean, quit worrying about being politically correct. That's the bottom line. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it's not the truth. Now, say, but they use Scripture just like you do. Yes, but they take Scriptures out of context and they apply Scripture that was never written to them. I mean, after all, Jesus Christ told man in Matthew 19 when he said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." Well, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, we've been made free from the law. Anybody that can read English can see that there's a difference in what was taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what's taught in Romans through Philemon. But people ignore that and will condemn those that stand for that and say you're some kind of nut. Where did I tell you to turn? Galatians 1. Okay. I'll get there. Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You see what happens? People pervert the gospel of Christ. How did they do that in Galatia? Well, we could read the whole chapter and see, but let me just tell you, and most of you know, that there were those that came behind the Apostle Paul. And they told the people there at Galatia, except you be circumcised, you can't be saved. Paul said they perverted the gospel of Christ. And he said, it's not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. I think God took it seriously when people taught false doctrine, particularly concerning salvation. He said, if they do so, let them be accursed. I didn't make that up. I didn't say that. I didn't make the rules. That's what God said. He said, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Well, if you're not the servant of Christ, who are you the servant of? The devil. The minister of unrighteousness. Just like Paul said there was back there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice what he says over in, where we just read the verse, 2 Timothy 2:13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Now, I want you to go in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. And notice the terminology in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Bewitched. You get the picture there? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing or faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You see, there was those that came along, and they were bewitching them. They were deceiving them. They were perverting the gospel. Notice over in chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So there is a physical manifestation of Satan. They're walking around in bodies, and they're preaching false doctrine to people and causing them to believe that their works, their goodness, their church membership, water baptism, giving their money, or whatever, will somehow find them favor with God. And the only way you're going to find favor with God today is through trusting in His Son, Jesus Christ, and be received of Him in the Son. That's the only way. Notice, if you will, over 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6, Paul says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." Now notice, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Then there was the messenger of Satan. Say, well, what form was he in? Well, I believe you can find him back in chapter 11. Look back there in chapter 11, in verse 23. Paul says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." You know who brought about every one of those situations in Paul's life? The messengers of Satan that buffeted him. The word buffet means to beat upon. And I firmly believe that when Paul prays for the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to be removed, he's talking about all these obstacles that stood in his way of doing the ministry that God called him into. And he prayed that it be removed, and he didn't remove it. He said, "I'm not going to remove it." Paul said one of the reasons was, he said, though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. And when you go over in the further in the chapter, notice what he said in verse 9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Satan knew what it was to have all the forces of the devil unleashed against him. And it happened in every place he went. There were those who rejected him. And he said again, "I'm not ignorant of their devices." He knew what was going on. And he warned us about that. And he warned us there in Ephesians chapter 6, where we read a moment ago. Notice over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians 2, verse 17. "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see you face to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Well, was it Satan in a red suit and a pitchfork? No, it was men, folks. It was people that hindered the Apostle Paul. It was people that cast Paul out of the city and wanted to stone him to death. It was people that were operating under the influence of Beelzebub, that old serpent, the devil, the spirit that now worketh, he says, in the children of disobedience. It's a spirit. And it's a spirit of false doctrine and false teaching. And it always resists the truth and will do whatever it can to stop the truth. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that's called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now notice, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. Every verse I'm reading here has to do with a physical manifestation of Satan. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. There are those that always, during Paul's ministry, were teaching contrary to that which Paul was teaching. Notice over in 1 Timothy, or back in 1 Timothy 3, 1 Timothy 3, Paul's given the qualifications for a bishop. We'll just cut in there in verse 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he shall fall into the condemnation of the devil. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, back in Ephesians, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul was an instrument of Satan himself. He said he was. He was having people put to death. He was a blasphemer, injurious. But he said the Lord had long suffering and mercy toward him. But I want you to notice what he said in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Paul said that he was a child of wrath, and that he walked according to the prince of the power of the air, just like those Ephesians did, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Every lost person is under the influence of Satan, and they remain under that influence until they are saved, at which time the Bible is clear that the Spirit of God enters into that individual and seals them unto the day of redemption. From that point forward, there is no way that the devil can ever cause them to die apart from God. They will always be God's. They will always belong to Him. Paul said, you are bought with a price. He also said, the Lord knoweth them which are His. But Paul warns us that people can depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And that's exactly what people do when they follow doctrine that is contrary to the Word of God, many not even knowing they're doing so. It's a serious thing, folks. And the devil is real today, and he's as real as he ever was. And we need to understand how he's working today, because he's working through a lie that is being manifest to people, and it's through ministers, his own ministers, that don't speak the truth of the Word of God. One other passage, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is a continuation of chapter 3, but I want you to look in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Well, then the question is, how is it that the God of this world blinds the minds? Well, look back in chapter 3. Paul is talking about the law. And he says there in verse 14, "But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." You see, Paul was confronted with those that were still preaching the law of Moses for salvation. And he said, every time they stand and read that law, it puts a veil over people's face. And he later says, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." How was he doing that? He was doing that through the false teacher that was teaching them that they could be made righteous by the law, by that old ministration, rather than this new ministration that he calls the ministration of glory. Folks, the devil is real today. He's as real as he was in the Garden of Eden. He's as real as he was when he confronted the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4 and told him that if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. People say, well, how could he make that offer? He is the God of this world. The God of this world. And he will remain the God of this world until he is put down at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, he's chained for 1,000 years. Brother Brian used to talk about those that he talked to, and they said that the devil was already chained, that we were living during 1,000 years, and that the devil was already chained. And he said, well, if he is, he's got a long chain. He's not chained today, folks. He's alive and well. And he's working to deceive people and blind people and influence people. And it can happen to us as saved individuals if we're not careful. Because Paul said in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to those seducing spirits. We're to keep our mind focused upon the Word of God. We're to be established in the truth of the Word of God so that we might be able to resist and confront and withstand all the onslaught of Satan and put on the whole armor of God. We might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you've never been saved, it's because you've been blinded from the truth. Not by a literal physical light. You've been blinded by some false teaching that has made you believe that somehow you could repeat a prayer, walk the aisle, get baptized, and be saved. The truth is, there's not one thing you can do in your flesh to get saved. Christ did it all. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And the Bible says if you'll trust Him, believe that gospel and trust Him, He'll save you. And the devil can't do a thing about it. But he will continue to try to keep you from the truth. That is why Paul said it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive Him this morning and be saved and sealed unto the day of redemption. The devil doesn't want that, but God does. And every saved individual that you know wants that as well. I don't know who it is. I don't know whether what your relationship is with the Lord, whether you've ever been saved or not. But I can tell you that if you haven't, you don't have to get up and go anywhere, do anything, or say anything. Just between you and God, trust in what He did at Calvary, and He'll save you this very moment. Would you stand with me for prayer?